In Atlanta, Joey Logano saves the very best for last, and Josh Williams becomes a phenomenon. These are our top stories. Hi, I'm Doug Rice. I'll be joined by Kyle Petty, Alexis Erickson, and Brad Gilley right here on Fast Talk.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. By Coca-Cola. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Take a taste and see. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
PRN coming off of a weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway in Hampton, Georgia that saw NASCAR's defending champion pick up his first win of the 2023 season. Of course, we're talking about Joey Logano. Here's how it sounded on PRN.
Logano is racing his way out next to the wall, side by side with Brad Keselowski. This is for the win as they dive into turn three. Logano is out front. Can he hold off Keselowski?
Joey Logano leads off of turn four, and Joey Logano will win the Ambetter Health 400 by two car lengths over Christopher Bell and Brad Keselowski. That's how it sounded on PRN. And in there, that two car lengths, Kyle Petty, might have been the biggest lead that he had all day long.
All day. There was a bigger gap between him and the second place guy. Even when his teammates were there, they never let him get more than 5 or 6 feet, it seemed like, out front. So it was, what a way to end the race. What a way those last few laps.
Kyle, how impressed were you with the move he made on the last lap?
Yeah.
To come from, it looks like, okay, he's going to be relegated to nowhere to win the thing.
Yeah, look, I thought he had a seventh or eighth place car, the way the outside line was moving. And then when Christopher Bell made his move, it opened up. It changed the whole race. That changed the dynamics of the whole race for me. It allowed him to move forward. We saw Corey LaJoy jump down in the bottom lane, push him a little bit, and then he just drove the wheels off of it. He anticipated what Brad was going to do. He anticipated Christopher Bell was going to do, put his car in the right place, man. And it was, they got outdrove. He had the best car, don't get me wrong, but he outdrove those guys at the end.
Joey Logano talks about the move that he had to make against Brad Keselowski to secure the win.
I felt like we were definitely going to duke it out, but, you know, when I got to his outside, it was either he was going to wreck or we were going to just race and, you know, hopefully he was going to get the big push on the bottom. That was his only hope there. So it just ultimately ended up working out.
And for Brad Keselowski, he thought that a long two-year losing streak might be over.
It's good to be in position to win races, even if it doesn't come together. It's showing what we're made of. So I got to remember how far we've come. But there's always disappointment in any race that you have a car that and you're in position and it doesn't come together.
Alexis, I have a new favorite car because he's sponsored by King Hawaiian Bread.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good Hawaiian sweet roll for sure? You know, the craziest stat I saw after the race yesterday was one that I never even thought about. And that was Brad Keselowski is the only guy in the field that has led in every single race so far this season. And reading that, I was kind of like, did they get that right? But they definitely did. And yeah, he is showing much, much improvement over where that team was in 2022. And even though he didn't get the job done and break that 66 race winless streak yesterday, he's got to be pretty happy with where they're going.
Brad Gilley, you got to interview Joey Logano in Victory Lane on PRN. What was his mood? Obviously happy, but where do you think he was emotionally?
In a big way. Here's the great thing. Like, I crossed paths with Joey Logano so many times after he won the pole in qualifying yesterday before the race due to deal with Coca-Cola, obviously in Victory Lane. But here's the thing with Joey Logano. He lived in Atlanta. He lived at Atlanta Motor Speedway for like 4 years when he was growing up running Legends cars before he was even a teenager with the Legends cars and Bandoleros and their Thursday night races that they do in Atlanta. He has been in that Victory Lane so many times collecting trophies, but had never, ever once done it in the NASCAR Cup Series. And he's been in the series for 15 years now. So for him to finally get that Atlanta win, which is sort of like his secondary home track next to New Hampshire Motor Speedway, he was just simply elated with that.
I do remember vividly the summer shootouts when Logano would tow up from Atlanta to race here at Charlotte on Tuesday nights and would just wear out the field and beat everybody that was twice as old as him. Kyle, why is he misunderstood? There's a lot of folks that don't care at all about Joey Logano.
You know, I don't know. I think it's – I'm going to go back and blame it on Mark Martin. for naming him sliced bread. Yeah, and I think the expectations were so high. I think the expectations were so high. He did absolutely, and I won't say absolutely nothing, but he did really close to nothing when he was at Gibbs. And that, not his fault. When you really start delving into it and pulling the layers of the onion back, Joey had nothing to do with that. Roger Penske built a team for Joey Logano and built it around Joey Logano. Joey Logano was the nucleus of that team. And he has been that common denominator through 32 wins and two championships and everything he's done. No matter who's come and gone and set on the pit box or changed tires or whatever, it's the driver you saw drive those last few laps. That's what gets it done on a regular basis. And the team knows that. They know they can put it in his hands. I don't know why he's misunderstood, except that everybody wants their driver to win and Joey's taking home the trophy. So that's a little bit of that misunderstanding or jealousy.
And he doesn't apologize. No. He says, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to collect trophies and get checks. And he's pretty good at it. Alexis, it was really obvious, at least to me, in calling the race at Atlanta, that Team Penske had orders and they followed them to the letter.
Yeah, I mean, clearly 1-2-3 down there on that inside line. And for a while, you know, before that last lap and the incredible move that Joey made to win the race, I was thinking it wasn't going to work out for them, even though they had all the help in the world. And we talk so much about how at these super speedway races, you can't make something happen unless you have the help to do so. And they had each other right there for a long time. And then finally, you know, as we got down to the last lap, they were able to make it work and put a Penske car in victory lane. But you're right. I mean, and you have to think about how they got there, too. You know, Ryan Blaney had some troubles at a point in the race. I think he was two laps down, came back from that to be able to be in that position to help his teammates at the end of the race. So, yeah, just a great run for Team Penske all around.
Brad, this race did play out, I felt like, more like a Daytona Talladega than maybe the two last year did, because there were stretches where it was monotonous. But then when it got ready to go to the pay window, it got great.
Yeah, it was interesting, and you're right. The incredible discipline, not just between the three Penske teammates, but throw Brad Keselowski in there as well, because he was running with them 1-2-3-4, especially during the opening stages of the race, and that was really cool. But what was fun, you even go back to the first stage. I mean, Joey Logano led the entirety of that, but you started to see when teams were kind of testing out what they had a little bit. And for a time, it got to two wide, got to a little bit three wide, then settled back down. And then to Alex's point, once we got through that first round of pit stops, look, Logano lost five spots because they had to put more fuel in his car because he burned more out front, and that started to mix up the field a little bit. But to then watch him kind of find their place on the racetrack, watch Ryan Blaney, you know, make up his laps on all of that, I thought that was really neat. But especially at the end, just you know, the energy starting to build and build and build throughout the field all the way to the end,
and it was like everybody got orders at the same time. Let's go get it. Joey Logano wins it. Brad Keselowski second. He was side-by-side with Christopher Bell. And Corey LaJoie, his career best finish ever, comes home fourth. Kyle, there seems to be a lot of love for Corey LaJoie out there, and he paid back a little bit of it.
You know what? And listen, we should give him a lot of love. Here, we're five races into the season. That team has had, this is their fourth, and this was a top five, but their fourth finish inside the top 20, which is huge for a team like this. Huge for a team like this. And so many times we get so focused on looking at the sharp end of the stick, who runs first, who runs second, who runs third. And we forget these guys that can have a 14th place run, and it's a big day for them. So I you look at Corey, he ran great down there last year. He has run great in that car. I think, and this is what, this again, I looked at this year, Doug, and said, okay, we're going to come out this year, and the Hendrick and Penske and Gibbs, they're going to be light years ahead of everybody. They got a year under their belt. They're not. They're not. They're still Corey LaJoie and Spear Motorsports and Front Row and Spire and all those guys still running with these guys. So the field is still level to some degree, which fascinates me. And right now, Corey is taking advantage of it.
Question for both Alexis and Brad. Guys, where do you think we are with Atlanta Motor Speedway? This was race number three on the reconfigured track. We'll start with you, Alexis.
You know, I think the first part of that race, there's no doubt that stage one and stage two were tamer than anybody probably anticipated that they would be. Could that be a little bit of a factor of people looking back to what happened on Saturday and the caution-filled race that we had on Saturday, and maybe people being drivers being a little bit more cautious as the race went on Sunday, or just the talent level? that much higher in the Cup Series than it is in the Xfinity Series. The last stage, I thought, especially the last 40 laps, you know, being able to race to the checkered flag, getting a winner without having a big one, having a big crash, I thought that was a huge thing that we saw yesterday. I want to see what this race produces when we go back in July in the heat. I think the cold temperatures that we had this past weekend, and I mean cold, Brad will be able to attest to it because he was on pit road, you know, both Saturday and Sunday, probably bundled up as he could be. I think that played a big part in what we saw yesterday. So I really want to hold my judgment if I can until I see what happens in July.
We'll talk more about the cold when we get to the Josh Williams part of it. But look, if, to your point, Doug, I think you said it earlier. It really felt a lot more like a Daytona race even than it did last year. And I've gone into the weekend thinking to myself, okay, what happens when Atlanta weathers? What happens when the track kind of starts to slow down a little bit, doesn't have the same type of grip that new asphalt has? And I've wondered, could this go back to being a non-drafting track, you know, that they run the same rules package on the race cars that they would say at Charlotte or Texas or something like that? Then I thought, no, there's no way they could do that with 28 degrees of banking because they would be going too fast. So I think it's actually going to get better in this regard. I'd be really curious to hear what Kyle says once the track wears out and they have to lift even more. Like, did we start this in a sweet spot that's just going to get sweeter? I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to think so. I agree with Brad. I would like to think that we started it in a really good place and it's going to get better and better. And as the racetrack and cars having to drive come into play, it's going to be like Daytona in July. Remember, we always used to say Daytona in February, all about speed. Daytona in July, all about handling. Now, I'm going to say, I have not been to the three races there. You guys have, collectively. But I will say, from judging from sitting in my living room where it was warm, I might add it was very warm in my living room, sitting in my living room where it was very warm, the fans in the stands, the cars in the parking lot, continue to grow every race. Yeah. If that's a good barometer for me. When I look at that sitting at home and watch and say, okay, there's more people there. There's more. That's a good sign.
I am astonished that there is a contingent of folks that say, I don't like what I'm seeing there. It just blows me away. Then you liked the races there before the change when people won by 8 seconds and led 75% of the laps. That was more entertaining than what we saw yesterday. I'm baffled by that.
That's white noise.
Yeah. You're entitled to your opinion. It's wrong, but you're entitled to it. Okay? Let's just get that out of
the way.
That's
why I love him.
Yeah.
Go Doug.
It's wrong. All right, coming up, penalties. NASCAR is handing them out like candy. We'll talk about that next.
This NASCAR season, every member of the Toyota Racing Team is doing their part to take the trophy home. Like sixth grader Melissa Kowalski, who changes true to true X on every true-false quiz she takes.
All my teachers are Martin Truex Jr. fans now.
Keep up the great work, Melissa. To accomplish greater things this year, everyone plays a part. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Eric Almirola, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski. Thanks for listening to Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Z-Max Racing Country.
Let's go to Nashville. It's Kathy and Gary Allen.
What are your de-stressors?
Chiropractor's huge for me. To me, that's like a massage.
What do they work on you?
My neck, my back. Because I fly a lot, I feel like up in between my shoulders is always really tight and from playing guitar.
Z-Max Racing Country. Music from the fast lane.
The Coca-Cola 600 represents everything that's great about America. It's 600 miles of wheel-to-wheel NASCAR action and heart-pounding excitement from sun up to sundown.
It's a salute to the troops on Memorial Day weekend. It's a fun family outing for fans of all ages. Visit charlottemotorspeedway.com to get your tickets today. Kids get in for just $10. The Coca-Cola 600 on Memorial Day weekend.
Fast Talk brought to you in part by Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco. Let's do our Toyota performance report before we jump into our next segment here. Christopher Bell, the top finishing Toyota, he was side by side with Brad Keselowski. He came home third. Tyler Reddick ran toward the front through most of that race. He was fifth. Denny Hamlin was sixth. Ty Gibbs with a decent run, a top 10 finish. He was ninth. Martin Truex Jr. faded late. He was 19th. Bubba Wallace got caught up in a wreck early on, but still managed to finish 27th. And that is our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Brad Gilley, it was the story going into the weekend as a result of the penalties handed out at Phoenix. What message was NASCAR sending with $400,000 in penalties just for Hendrick Motorsports?
Oh, man, when you talk about those penalties and a similar penalty for Colic Racing for Justin Haley's car that the individual Hendrick cars got that collectively added up to the $400,000, I think NASCAR is clearly sending the message that, look, you don't mess with the parts on the race cars. Now, the parts they had were imperfect to begin with, and that's going to be their argument. But I think NASCAR's argument is going to be, yeah, we told you where you could trim up the parts to fit. It sounds like they might have gone a little bit further than that, and I think NASCAR is going to lay the hammer down anytime they feel that someone's gone beyond what the scope of what they should be doing has done.
All right. Very concise points there. Ross Chastain was nice enough to work in the booth with PRN for the Xfinity broadcast at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and at one point after several cars had crashed, he goes, I never want to be a car owner. That's really expensive. And he goes, it's the same reason I don't want to have a podcast. Those can cost you a lot of money. Alexis?
Oh.
I have to say that as I was at home in Mooresville, North Carolina, listening to that, I had a chuckle because obviously anybody listening that has been following the storylines knew exactly what Ross was talking about. And that was Denny Hamlin on his Dirty Mo Media podcast, Actions Detrimental, ironically enough, got popped for what NASCAR calls actions detrimental after admitting to intentionally wrecking Ross Chastain on the last lap or second to last lap at Phoenix. He admitted to that happening. NASCAR said, you know, when they saw it happen, they thought it was just a racing deal. But after Denny Hamlin said, you know, you're coming with me, buddy, this is happening, which is, I think, is how he put it on his podcast, NASCAR said, okay, well, now that you have admitted to the fact that it was intentional, we're going to fine you 50, I think it was 50 driver owner points, or just driver points, and $50,000, $25,000. Anyway, it was a lot. And so, yeah, Ross is just basically saying it can be an expensive endeavor to have a podcast these days and speak your mind.
I think it was $50,000 and 25 points.
Okay, I had it. I had it backwards.
Kyle Petty, this
I'm
sounds
sorry.
Like something that would happen to you.
Not really. Not really. And let me tell you why.
It really does.
Let me tell you why. Because you can, what's the old saying? You can fix parts, but you can't fix?
Stupid.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
I will wholeheartedly tell you that is a stupidity tax that Denny Hamlin
it's
was
paying.
Given.
That's exactly right, and that you are exactly right, Mark Garrow. I mean, here's a guy.
What?
Here's a guy who did it. Here's a guy who did it, and then fesses up. You got it. You're going to have to pay. I am sorry.
Yeah.
That's the way it was, and I still doubt that it actually happened because Bob Pockrass posted video footage of Denny and Ross happening, talking on pit road after the Phoenix race, and there was no animosity. There was some hand motions, and there was some, but they weren't in each other's face. They weren't in each other's face. So it's like, now that I'm in my podcast studio, I'm going to be the big dog. I'm going to tell you what really happened. that kind of thing. And I want to go back to the Hendrick stuff. I have said this and been incredibly consistent with it. I got no problem with the money. No problem. With it being $400,000. That's what it is. But they presented this car for inspection before official inspection. It was a voluntary inspection. They found it then. NASCAR found it then. NASCAR let them go on to the racetrack with a part that they had already seen, that they had found. They ran a 50-minute practice. Then NASCAR took it from them. Then post-race, NASCAR took points and championship points from a team that they already knew before they ever went on a racetrack. They didn't cheat anybody before they went on the racetrack. They may have had the intent to cheat. They may have had the intent to pull the wool over your eyes, but they didn't get an opportunity to because NASCAR called it. So why are you taking points away from me? Now you're taking points for intent. And I don't think points should ever be taken in this case for the intent to move a rear end, the intent to run a big engine, the intent to change a body. Yeah, I just don't think that points should have been awarded because I didn't cheat anybody that day. I didn't cheat anybody and win extra points, so you don't get to take my points away.
And that's a bigger penalty than if they would have raced it
exactly.
And been disqualified.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't agree with that part of this penalty, but I'll never have a problem with the financial side.
I want to go back to the Denny Hamlin thing for a little bit because I've watched enough courtroom drama. This is where I know learn everything I know. That you, the defense attorney will tell the plaintiff, deny, and then when they ask you some more stuff, deny. Even if they have video footage of you robbing the 7-Eleven. Yep. Well, no, that's somebody that looks like me, or they stole
that's
my
right.
jacket. And Denny broke that canon.
Yeah.
He did not deny. As a matter of fact, he sort of boasted that he did that. And
yeah. And it was and it came across as much as a boast as it did anything to me. Listening to his voice, it came across what he was saying, and he was being egged on a little bit. Listen, he was being egged on, but it came across as a little bit of a boast. And that's the way I took it. So if you're going to boast about it and you're gonna say it on your podcast, either A, make sure that only your parents hear your podcast, or B, don't let it outside your house.
Alexis?
So there have been some other members of the media that have voiced opinions in that they think that this is going to silence a driver from giving their opinion or being able to speak their mind. Where do you guys land on that? Do you feel like that is in any way what is happening here? And do you think that this is ever going to stop Denny Hamlin from saying whatever Denny Hamlin wants to say?
So that's a good question. But I will say this. Kyle Busch went off this weekend on respect in the garage area and how young drivers drive. So I don't think it's going to shut up any driver. And I don't think it should shut up any driver. I think drivers should be able to voice their opinions. Okay. It's not an opinion. Okay. Sorry for the rest of the media. The opinion is not, oh, I think Denny might have turned loose of the steering wheel. And I think Denny might have tried to race. Denny said, this is what I did. That moves from the area of opinion to what Denny considers a fact. And listen, I'm not picking on Denny. Other drivers have got out and said they did the same thing. So as this just happens to be Denny right now, and we're talking about it in the context of all these other fines that are out there. But I don't think it'll stop a driver from voicing their opinions. It didn't stop Josh Williams, but I don't think it'll stop any driver from. Sorry,
it didn't stop Denny. Not even the first time he's been fined for.
That's exactly right. So it's not. This is that blip on the radar screen. You know how your mom says, go to a room and think about it. Denny's thinking about it, but he'll come back and he'll do the same thing again because that's what all of us always did.
There was a great book written many years ago about the law of attraction, that you kind of attract the energy that you put off.
Yep.
Denny Hamlin attracts that because of the energy he puts off. I'm not condemning Denny.
No, that's not
he
it.
Makes
that's
the
right.
game pretty interesting.
I love him. I love him for it. I love him for saying the things he said and being as honest, because there's sometimes he is so brutally and blatantly honest that it hurts you. It hurts you that he bears his soul like this. But this was a time it didn't need to be done.
And I know Alexis and Brad can back this up. We will do interviews, and he will be the subject. And every time I'll say the same thing to him, thank you for being honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody varnished your comments
That's
before
right.
you came in here, and that is kind of refreshing. Maybe not 50 grand refreshing, but it is refreshing. By the way, Coca-Cola's refreshing. Coke Zero Sugar tastes so good, people will take a taste any way they can. So when you're enjoying Coke Zero Sugar, be ready to protect it, because one sip begs the question, is this the best Coke ever? Taste it and see. Josh Williams, he's a name now that is recognized worldwide, probably several memes wide too. We'll talk about him next.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-402-7119. 800-402-7119. 800-402-7119. That's 800-402-7119.
I'm Ty Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Speedway Children's Charities was really started out of a really sad time in life for our family. My young brother died as an infant, and you know, out of that pain came the desire for my parents to do something to help children. My mom and dad weren't really happy with just giving money to an organization. They really wanted to be more hands-on and see that, you know, every dollar was put to the best use.
We take charities that otherwise may not get the attention from other donors, and we provide funds to them.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy.
And hope.
And love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Visit SpeedwayCharities.org.
Admittedly, here on Fast Talk, we do not spend a lot of time talking about the support series. This is a show primarily about NASCAR Cup Series racing, but we cannot let the opportunity pass to talk about an event that took place in the Xfinity race at Atlanta Motor Speedway recently involving a relatively unknown driver, Josh Williams. Josh stopped his car when NASCAR told him to park it because they felt like there were parts and pieces coming off of it. And he did as he was told, except he parked his car at the start-finish line, got out, and then walked back to the garage area. Kyle Petty, he technically did as he was told.
Yes. I think he thought that was the valet area when he pulled off. He thought someone was going to come park it for him. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. One of the coolest things I've ever seen. One of the coolest things I've ever seen. I mean, here's a team that works on a shoestring, works, you know, they're just trying to get to the racetrack, man. They're helping you put on the show. They're doing the best they can. And I know a rule's a rule. I know it is. Okay, we can go and stuff's flying off his car, and I got you on the bear bond, and I got you on that. But, my, I mean, sometimes I just wish that we could just use a little bit of common sense and just say, let's just fix this thing. But he's like, if you're going to park me, I'll park it, dude. You figure out what to do with it.
And as I was watching it, because it happened right below our broadcast position, at first I thought he turned around and shot the bird to the crowd in NASCAR. Yeah. He didn't.
No.
It was a peace sign.
I've done that before. And that is a fine.
Yeah,
I will say that is a fine.
That'll get you fine.
That will get
and then
you
he
fine.
Goes into the garage and the camera gets him and he makes the little heart
oh,
sign.
Oh, that's perfect. That
and
is classic.
Alexis, all of that kind of softened it up. Will NASCAR be human here? If they want good PR, handle this with some humanity.
Yeah, I mean, we would hope so, right? We would hope that they would look at what is happening in the media, the reaction that Josh is getting from the fans. I mean, you had a tweet earlier today where you called him a folk hero, he is kind of getting that kind of attention. You know, he's getting media requests, he's getting all this stuff just to tell his side of the story. And I want to go back to something that Kyle said. You know, you mentioned a rule is a rule, but is it? because we've had instances before where parts and pieces have fallen off of cars and those cars have not been parked. I think about Chase Elliott at the Roval, who I think his whole bumper fell off. And, you know, that actually caused, I think, a caution that worked out in his favor. And so, you know, you just have to look at the circumstances, and he was frustrated, understandably. I think, Brad, you made a mention earlier about talking about the weather when it came to this situation, because, you know, his team is saying, oh, well, the reason why the Bear Bond didn't stay on the car is because it was too cold to stick to the car. And so there were circumstances outside of their control. I hope NASCAR looks at all of those variables, because there are so many things that go into this story, you know, that they really need to look at before they decide what they're going to do tomorrow.
So let me apologize to you, Alexis. My sarcasm is not coming across as good today as it usually does. So I apologize that a rule is a rule. Okay, I apologize.
A rule is a rule, yeah.
So, Brad Gilley, what's your take on the whole Josh Williams thing? Is he a villain, or is he a folk hero, or somewhere
all right,
in between?
I'm going to be the get off my lawn guy.
Gosh, here we go.
Thank you, Josh Williams, for doing what you did. I actually applaud it. I think that was awesome. In the moment, I cannot tell you how mad I was at Josh Williams, because I'm standing on pit road. And look, a great man once said there's no such thing as bad weather, only the wrong clothes. And I probably could have used an extra layer at that time. This race was taking forever to get through the first half of it. We had already run tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of laps under caution. Let's get the thing going. And then I look up, and I remember I keyed up my mic and said something to our race director, Laura Beth Barnhart. I'm like, what is Josh Williams doing? He just stopped at the start finish line. And at this point now I'm mad because I'm cold, number one. but look, I applaud him for doing it. My opinion, NASCAR needs to lay a hammer down just for the sake of discipline. It doesn't matter what led to him doing it, in my opinion. The fact that he did it, you have to send a message to the rest of the garage. Now, whether he gets to come back at Richmond or gets to come back at Martinsville, that's up to them. And I'm sure however much he owned it in the trailer and or apologized and or didn't apologize may have something to do with the way NASCAR handles this. But I do think NASCAR cannot leave a message saying, okay, that's okay, anyone can try and do something like that.
Yeah, and listen, I do agree. I agree with that last statement. You do have to draw a line. The problem is that we could have drawn a line a little bit with the Bubba Wallace incident of being on a hot racetrack and walking across the racetrack. We could have gone down that road with Josh Williams. So there's so many, but NASCAR won't draw a line with a star. So they shouldn't draw a line with a guy that's trying to be there. That's my problem with some of the things that happen in this sport, is we use the smaller teams to set an example. Let me tell you, the bigger teams don't care. You're not setting an example to that end of the garage, because they can't see that other end of the garage from where they're at. So that will be my problem if they come down too hard. I do believe they need to do something, but I don't believe they can come down too hard.
Alexis?
It's the inconsistencies, though. And that's exactly, I think, what Kyle is talking about. But, you know, I think of something, it's a completely different scenario. So maybe you can't say, you know, apples to apples. Maybe you'll say this is apples to oranges. But look at Ross Chastain at Martinsville, what he did, you know, at the end of that race to pull his
the Hail Melon.
His video game move. And some people said, you know, maybe that shouldn't have been allowed. Granted, there wasn't a rule at the time, and technically there was a rule here for this. But how about you just tell Josh, okay, the rule is you can't stop, you can't park your car on the start finish line. Like, going forward, no more. If we tell you to park it, this is where you park it. You don't park it on the start finish line. Yeah. Because I feel like there are inconsistencies. Like I said, that this isn't the first time that somebody's had a piece of debris fall off of their car, and he did it in a moment of frustration. You know, and I completely understand where you are coming from, Brad, because I think the reason why they may have called it in this instance and haven't called it before, perhaps maybe it is, to Kyle's point, because they are on a different end of the garage than, say, Chase Elliott when his bumper fell off at the Roval. But this race was taking it had a different complexion. There were so many cautions. They were trying to hurry this race up. You know, so perhaps that's what went into the official's mind when they said, okay, we're going to park this car, because of the complexion of the race beforehand. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's just so many variables to think about here.
And he's a very likable, approachable guy. NASA invented a lot of things and that have been passed down to consumers. I think Teflon might have been one of them. It's called space dust. There is some space dust in all of this, and that people have discovered who Josh Williams is. And now the story is coming out that Josh Williams is the guy that goes to children's hospitals in every town where he races in his driver's uniform and visits with sick children.
Exactly.
And nobody's ever talked about that until now. So Josh Williams, way to go. We'll see what happens. NASCAR's going to have to penalize you, but I hope they use a little bit of humanity in doing so. Up next, NASCAR heads to Austin, Texas, Circuit of the Americas. We'll talk about that.
Coke Zero Sugar tastes so good, people will take a taste any way they can. You never know when your best friend will lunge across the table and grab for it. A stranger could subtly swipe it. Or your little brother might just ask for one too many sips. So, no matter what you're doing or who you're with, when you're enjoying a Coke Zero Sugar, be ready to protect it from takers at all times. Because one sip begs the question, is this the best Coke ever? Take a taste and see.
Unit 20, what's your location?
Yeah, we're one pump over from the suspect. He's fueling up at Sunoco.
Are you going to apprehend the suspect?
Negative. We're fueling up too.
With new Sunoco Go Rewards, when you fuel, you save. So drop what you're doing, because rewards come first.
10-4, Unit 20. I'm heading over for rewards too.
Download the Sunoco app. Sunoco, fuel your best.
Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Z-Max Racing Country Classic.
Hey, we're back. Come on to Nashville. It's Kathy and Vince Gill.
Who do you find it hardest to keep up with, musicianship-wise?
I just feel like an adequate guitar player compared to some of the people that I just love and admire and really think are spectacular. The majority of the people that I learned to play the instrument from are still around.
Z-Max Racing Country Classic.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ross Chastain punts Alex Bowman into A.J. Allmendinger. He's got the lead coming out of turn 20. Now he's flat on the gas. Ross Chastain is going to get his first NASCAR Cup Series win. His 121st start. Twice the bridesmaid. The past 2 weeks, finally, Ross Chastain catches the bouquet.
Okay, rather colorful metaphor there from Mark Garrow. Brad Gilley also part of that call. But, Brad, hard to beat the drama that we had on the last lap at Circuit of the Americas last year.
Yeah, and really what preceded that was A.J. Allmendinger moving Ross Chastain in the stadium section of the race course where Pat Patterson is making the call. And then Ross just came back and made sure he moved A.J., but just a little bit more. He didn't want A.J. to come back and catch his back bumper before the start-finish line. But it was. The entire race was wildly exciting. And, I mean, heck, Chastain initially took the lead under green. It wasn't like there was pit strategy or anything like that going on. It was just good straight-up hard racing throughout.
Alexis, this time when we go to Circuit of the Americas, it'll be under NASCAR's new rules. There will be no caution period to break up the stages, and really nothing as you watch the race that says, hey, stage one ended and stage two started, except they'll go from lap to lap and then they'll hand out the points later. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think it's going to make it pretty exciting, because one of the things that we've seen that has potentially been a detriment to road course racing has really been those stage breaks, because of the fact that it changes what is available to do for crew chiefs as far as strategy is concerned. So by taking those planned yellow flags out of the mix, it really allows for more strategy to play out. So I'm really curious about how it's going to be covered, because you're right, there's not going to be that line that says, okay, now we're stopping, we're going down pit road, we're doing this, and then a restart. So you know, from your perspective, how is that going to be different from how you've been calling races for the last, you know, handful, dozen years?
I think we've gotten so used to the stage breaks being like mini finishes that they're a big part of it. We're not going to have that. Kyle, as a competitor, how do you think the folks in the garage are reacting?
Well, I think it's a throwback. I think it's a throwback to what road racing was before. You're gonna work the race backwards for your pit strategy. And so we're going to see the way races were called in the 90s. We're going to see the way races were called in the early 2000s. Because you can't count on those cautions. And then when there does, or if there is a full course yellow, and we do have an organic caution, then that's going to change the strategy and you're going to have to regroup there. So from the crew chief side, I think that's the way I look at it. I'm not, and I'm going to say this, I'm not a big fan of this on a road course, and of not having the caution laps. And I tell you why. Road courses notoriously get spread out. Guys notoriously get spun out. Okay. So when your guy's running third and he gets spun out, hey, you got to go the rest of the day, bud. You don't get that 12 lap cushion to get that caution and get down pit road and get four fresh tires and get caught up again. You're basically, for all intents and purposes, unless somebody else crashes, you're about out of the race, because you're not going to run those guys down from 40 or 50 seconds behind. We've seen it at Watkins Glen. We've seen it at Sonoma. And we saw it at Riverside a million times. It just doesn't happen when you get that far behind. So I think the resets, everybody's like, yeah, we don't want those caution flags, man. We don't want those. But when we get to a road course, I'm thinking you might want those caution flags a little bit just to get caught up. And you've got the choose rule. How's the choose rule going to affect this place? I don't know how it will affect the road course. I think it's been a plus for the speedways, but I don't know how it's going to affect this place. But I'm not so sure. I'm going to have to see a race. I'm going to withhold because I'm not sure I'm going to like it.
I there's a lot of things that happen in the evolution of this sport that I get stamp of approval. I could care about the choose rule. I feel like it is something that we overhype to a great extent. It might make a difference from start-finish line to turn one at some places, but I just feel like it's become a talking point. It's what is it? Big hat, no cattle.
Yeah, it's a talking point to appeal to dirt track fans. That's what it is. You know what I mean? I mean, that's where it came from. It came from short track racing. It came from dirt track fans. It came from the cone. You know, that kind of thing. So I'm not a big fan of it either. And I do think on the speedways, it's allowed guys to choose partners where before they couldn't choose partners.
I did bring it up in an official NASCAR meeting at Bristol Motor Speedway.
How'd that go
over? It did not go over. They have never called me and asked me, Doug, what do you think about this? Because I might actually say, but I suggested at Bristol, they're racing on the dirt there.
Yeah.
Well, you can't put chalk down because it'll just go away. I said, let's have a holographic cone. What do you think, Alexis? Big hologram? Then they can just run right through it. Everybody would see it.
Put like a holograph Elvis or something. Yeah, you're at it.
Who
why
was
not?
It? Prince?
Make it a cartoon character.
Prince.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
There you
that's
go.
Good.
There
yeah,
you go.
It could be Deputy Dog down there.
Well, we have to go back to the fact that, and I understand to a certain extent what you guys are talking about, but it has done, I think, what its purpose was to do, and that was to alleviate drivers trying to manipulate how they came off of pit road to be in a specific lane on the racetrack. So I don't think it was put in place, yes, as maybe a throwback to old school dirt racing and to get fans excited, but I think it was also done to alleviate some kind of gamesmanship
Listen, we've always had gamesmanship. You know, when you had lap cars on the inside and lead lap cars on the outside, and then we went to shootout style. You know what I mean? And that's I mean, true. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, we've had so many different variations. I got you. And I get that you need to keep that you need to stay fresh and relevant, but putting a cone in the middle of the racetrack to make them choose. I mean, maybe it's changed the outcome of one race, maybe two, but it's not changed the outcome of a lot of different races. You know, it's just not been as big a factor.
Get on board. Let NASCAR know about the hologram idea.
Yeah, please.
I want that.
Please,
I want
get a hologram please get Doug on board. Rice out there. That's what I want.
Some of those guys would run over me just because. Anyway, all right, coming up, green flag, black flag.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
Call 800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. That's 800-296-1437. Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does the 360. So does Briscoe. Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Fast Talk here on PRN, Performance Racing Network. Maybe the longest running segment this show has is coming up right now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All righty. I don't know why NASCAR doesn't ask Doug what he thinks. We do. We care what he thinks on this particular thing.
We care. And you normally regret asking that.
We care.
But we're going to do it again today. Green flag, black flag. I read these statements prepared by very wise people. If our panel agrees with the statement, they give it a green flag. David Stiles does this. Yeah. Disagree, they get a black flag. And here's what David does. Two choices. That's all you get. We're going to start with get off my lawn, Brad, today. How about this? Daniel Suarez will win COTA.
Black flag. There are too many cars involved in this one for me to even pick a winner, but I don't think it's going to be him.
All right. What do you think, Alexis Erickson?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go black flag too. I know my mom watching in Puerto Rico is probably upset about that. She's a big Daniel Suarez fan, but I'm not sure he's going to get it done this weekend.
Don't upset mom.
I know. Sorry, mom.
What do you think, Doug?
I love Daniel Suarez. I want to hug him every time I see him. So green flag. He won the first two stages there last year, I think.
Yeah.
And first stage.
First stage. And had some problems after that. But I think he's going to win it. Why not?
Kyle Petty.
You know what? I'll go green flag because I think he's got as good a shot as any. Because without these cautions again and the resets, it's just going to be a different race.
All righty. Going to go with Alexis on this one. Jimmy Johnson will win his fifth Coca-Cola 600 coming up in May.
Oh, will win?
Will win.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Black Flag to that. I think obviously Jimmy has a storied history at Charlotte Motor Speedway, including in the Coca-Cola 600. But running a limited schedule with a car that he is not familiar with, I just have to give that a Black Flag.
All right, Doug, what do you think?
Black Flag.
Yeah.
No.
No reason.
Wow. Pretty simple.
Just don't.
Not
feel
gonna
it.
Win it. Sorry.
He doesn't have the same warm and fuzzy feeling about Jimmy as he does for Daniel.
No, I don't.
Sorry,
I've never wanted to go up and hug Jimmy.
You know, Coke Zero has a black label. You know that. Right?
That's it.
Jimmy Johnson will win a six-pack at the Coca-Cola 600. So I'm going to say Black Flag. He's not going to win a race. But, hey, they give you a parting gift. Six-pack of Coke Zero.
Oh, okay. Brad Gilley.
Only because pretty much after Jimmy won his final race at Dover, Doug has said he'll never win again. I'm going to say green flag.
Ooh.
Heck yeah. Oh, Jimmy Johnson goes to victory lane.
There we go.
Okay.
You know, I never wondered
That'd be
why,
huge, man.
Now I know
huge.
Why Jimmy never comes up and hugs me. So.
Oh.
I've got a problem there.
All right, Doug Rice gets this one first. Brad Keselowski will get at least one win this season.
Green flag, yes. Maybe more. Came within an eyelash, and I think it was Alexis that said he's led at every race this year. So eventually, you hang out in the high rent district, you get to collect it.
All right, Kyle.
You know what? I'm going to say Black Flag. I think he got to see one, but it flew away. And that's the last one he'll see this year.
All right, Brad Gilley.
You know what? I would have said this before Atlanta. How about that? Because they have been running well this year. Green flag. Keselowski does win this year.
Y'all are killing me. You know they took two cars to the stadium, L.A., and came home with nothing. So
exhibition race. They don't mean anything, right, Kyle?
That was a great exhibition of what potential was. Let me just
say
that.
I didn't say he'd win on a short track.
All right, Alexis, what's going on? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag because there are still multiple super speedway races left and anybody can win there. And Brad has shown that he has the capability to run up front at those races all the time. So I say, yeah, he absolutely can.
All right. We got time for one more. Kyle Petty, you get it first. Josh Williams should run for office.
You know what? Josh Williams should be president of NASCAR. So, yes, I think he should. I think he should run for office. Green flag.
Okay, Brad, what do you think?
Black flag, and get off the East Lawn.
Just do it in a warmer climate for Brad.
Yeah,
that's right, yes.
Alexis.
Yeah, I say black flag because, trust me, Josh Williams, you don't want to be in political office. Don't do
true,
it. Just true, don't do it.
True.
Yeah,
true that. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. How about it, Doug?
I'm going to echo what Alexis said. That was brilliant. You know, you're beloved right now. You have folk hero status. Don't go to the dark side.
Yeah.
Get a haircut.
No, I'm not going that far.
Brutal,
I didn't figure
brutal.
You would, Kyle.
Okay, Doug, what's up?
Hey, you know what we're going to do? One last thing.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store.
This NASCAR season, every member of the Toyota Racing Team is doing their part to take the trophy home. Like sixth grader Melissa Kowalski, who changes true to true X on every true-false quiz she takes.
All my teachers are Martin Truex Jr. fans now.
Keep up the great work, Melissa. To accomplish greater things this year, everyone plays a part. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Are Are the old school fans hoping that poor attendance in these new places will force NASCAR to move the whole schedule back to its southeastern roots? Well, that horse left the barn a long time ago and the barn burned down.
So much of this is right place, right time, and just being fortunate enough to avoid the calamity.
Not every sporting event is going to have a great ending. We have to live with that and celebrate the history. And to me, Indianapolis belongs on the Oval.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
The grassroots is where the hometown heroes of Friday and Saturday nights are and where the future stars of NASCAR are made. The stories and journeys from the grassroots are always unique. Whether it was the excitement of her championship at the track her grandparents helped build, the loneliness of his first win without his father there to hug him in victory lane, or the track their mama warned them about, PRN's At the Track covers the people of America's baddest bull rings. PRN's At the Track, relentless passion for grassroots racing.
Been an entertaining show. By the way, hats off to Brandon Hutchison and all the crew down at Atlanta Motor Speedway. They held their races, had really nice crowds, even though it was cold and windy. The folks showed up because the racing is absolutely incredible. And thank you for your hospitality, Brandon. We'll see you in July when I'm thinking it will be decidedly warmer. And it is time now for our closing segment.
One last thing.
All right, time for one last thing. Can be about anything you want to chat about. Let's go to our buddy in Texas, Brad Gilley.
You know what? You mentioned Brandon Hutchison, and let's show Atlanta Motor Speedway some more love. They have a lot of events coming up between now and their July race weekend. In fact, on April 15th, Supercross will be right there on the front straightaway. In fact, I think today they're already digging up the grass, getting ready to build that Supercross track. That's going to be a lot of fun. But when NASCAR does go back, it's the weekend after July 4th. July 4th is on a Tuesday. Atlanta Motor Speedway will have the campgrounds already open for the Quaker State 400 weekend, and they're inviting anyone who is already at the track or anyone in the community to come there for the 4th of July for a big free fireworks spectacular. And that's what's going to kick off the Quaker State 400 weekend. And I would encourage everyone to go check out our friends in Atlanta, because based on what we saw this weekend, you better get your tickets now for the July weekend.
July 4th party at the Rice House this year is on July 1st, by the way. Alexis.
You know, just to kind of piggyback off of what Brad said, also in case you weren't aware, the July races at Atlanta, it's on a Sunday, but it's actually going to be a night race. So that will be interesting, especially in the heat of the summer. They should be much more cool temperatures. I know how broadcasters feel about night races, but trust me, for the fans, I think this is going to be a good thing. That's not my one last thing, though. That was just, you know, aside. That was just a side note.
You can't have two last things.
To Brad. Well,
thing one and thing two.
Thing one and thing two. Real quick, today is the first day of spring. Even though here in North Carolina, wow, you wouldn't know, it was like 30
really?
Degrees. Yeah, it was like 30 degrees when I woke up this morning. But for somebody who does suffer from a little bit of seasonal depression, I am so excited that brighter, sunnier, warmer days are ahead. So I'm pumped. It's the first day of spring.
Good.
That's it.
You.
My thing one and thing two.
Kyle.
Okay, so this week I had an opportunity with a show I do to introduce or to interview a world famous comedian. And he said something. We were talking about it earlier about comedy. That he was a comedian because that was a pop-off valve. That was a release for society. But now comedy has become an igniter to pit people against each other for different reasons. Listen, everybody listen, okay? Laughter is the best medicine. Laughing with others, laughing at others, but more importantly, laughing at yourself. And when we lose that, our ability to laugh at ourselves when we fall or whatever, then that will be a sad day. Don't be an igniter. Please, please, please just laugh and smile.
Put that on repeat.
Well done. Yeah, just keep we go to Circuit of the Americas this weekend. PRN has the broadcast of a really diverse group of drivers, two former Formula One champions Jenson Button and Kimi Raikkonen will be there. Jimmy Johnson is going to make one of his rare appearances. He will race at Circuit of the Americas, first time he's ever competed there. Connor Daly from the IndyCar Series will also be there, along with all the NASCAR regulars. You can catch it here on PRN. Look forward to being there. Thanks to Kyle, Alexis, Brad, David Stiles, Kent Bernhardt, Harold Hamrick, and all the folks that make this show possible. And we'll be back next week with, you know what, a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. By Coca-Cola. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Take a taste and see. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco UltraTech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.